Abercrombie Kids is bringing the cheer all holiday season and the gifts too. No matter how long their wish list is, there's always room for just one more. Whether it's a new winter coat, an extra pair of jeans, or cozy matching sweat sets, get gifting with looks they've been waiting for all year. Shop Abercrombie Kids in the app, online, and in stores.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration and use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen.
He's super bad. He's funtacular. He's
Rich Eisen.
He never kicked it. He kicked the ground.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guests, ESPN SportsCenter host Scott Van Pelt, Pro Football Hall of Famer Jim Kelly, WWE superstar Seth Rollins. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, that's right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Thrilled to be with you here on a Giving Tuesday on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Here on a Giving Tuesday on Disney Plus. The first time there's ever been such a thing, I believe, live on this wonderful place to stream for you and your kids. Also on the new ESPN app. Welcome to the first ever Giving Tuesday there as well. And yes, for the first time since I did intermission reports 7 different times in my first year at the once upon a time, as it was called, worldwide leader in sports, in a playoff hockey game on ESPN2, where I was on for 7 hours, basically, during a hockey game. I don't know. This is the longest stretch. This next 3 hours, the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN2 will be the longest I've had since back in the day on the Deuce, handing off the network to Bill Pito at 2:30 in the morning for NHL Tonight.
Yeah.
So we're thrilled to be on ESPN2 here for all 3 hours today. Scott Van Pelt, my buddy from back in the day, is going to be joining us first up on this Giving Tuesday. Jim Kelly will be joining us in hour number two. And then Seth Rollins in studio. Because this is the most consecutive weeks I think he's liked football in a long time. And the diehard Bears fan will be here. And there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. While you are watching us today, do us a favor. Do yourself a favor. Do everyone who's part of the Jimmy V organization a favor and donate. See if you're, again, watching us on ESPN2 or streaming us on Disney Plus in the ESPN app. There is a QR code for you to scan to donate. If you're listening to us on ESPN Radio, v.org/donate. Whatever you can give, let's give, because on this Giving Tuesday to kick off V Week, for the very first time, thanks to the Principal Foundation, in support of Principal and the Principal Foundation, launching a $1 million match challenge. So if we raise $1 million over V Week, boom, $2 million, just like that.
You know what I mean? Let's do it.
So it's a Giving Tuesday, and we're thrilled to be part of it right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you here, Christopher Brockman. The Patriots have been giving you joy
for a long time.
10 straight games.
Yeah, for a long time.
10 straight games.
We're changing spark plugs. We're getting the lube out, Mike.
Because the duck boats?
The duck boats are coming. Start them up soon, people.
Start them up.
Get ready.
Be careful. You're sitting next to the man who is the arbiter of what's insufferable on this program and what isn't. Good to see you, Mike Ditufo.
I'm going for the Patriots.
No, we don't need
He's going for them.
I'm going.
Good to see you, sir.
Good morning, Rich.
That's DJ Mikey D. TJ Jefferson, the candle's lit in the corner. How are you, sir? Good to see you.
We're on to Detroit, everyone.
Look at you.
We need a Patriots-Cowboys Super Bowl, TJ. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, why not?
Come on. I've never seen it before.
Get your damn act together.
I think the television football gods would be certainly on NBC all over that. They would take it. They would take it. So would you, and so would you. Yeah. And talk about insufferable. But anyway,
thank you, Rich.
Listen,
I guess I should say hello to
everyone. I should be more charitable.
You know?
It's a Giving Tuesday.
That's right.
Tuesday.
Here
on ESPN Radio. Yeah. At any rate, it's kind of crazy what's going on in New England, because this team, as you know, changes coaches. They change coaching staffs, even though we're all familiar with them, right? And we see what's going on there. And what's going on there, it's a back-to-the-future season. And to the point where it's now a conversation of how far can the Patriots go. I mean, that's basically it, right? And I want to put a pin in that for the moment. Because here lies the New York Giants.
G-man.
Once again, for their fan base to have to see something and go, essentially, headline. What the F was that? And last night was a whole was a whole sackful of what the F was that. Okay? Starting with Abdul Carter standing on the sideline to start the game. And I thought to myself, was he hanging out with CD and George Pickens in Vegas and we didn't know about it?
I mean, it's possible.
I mean, Buck and Aikman must be sitting around going, how many times are we just going to sit here and go, why aren't those guys out there on a Monday night? Are they looking at each other going, is it us?
Is it something I said?
Something we did on a Monday night where, that's you know.
Did I do
sudden,
that?
Or all of a sudden. I don't know. Dude, Lisa Salters and Laura Rutledge sit around in the pregame meetings and which one of us is going to go to the sideline to go, what's up with that? Why aren't they? This time it was Laura.
They're over there like this.
You know.
Yeah, right.
But while we're wondering about that, and we have been wondering for the last couple of weeks, why would Jackson Dart come back and play in this season? Like, we've already seen enough from him, as far as I'm concerned, for the Giants to say, we've seen enough from you, and enough's enough. Check the box. We've checked the box. Malik Nabers will come back next year. Camp Scatabu will come back next year. Yeah. You'll come back next year with a new head coach. And that's that. But if I'm Mike Kafka and I am potentially auditioning for the gig and I'm, you know, benching Abdul Carter to make a point because he's late to meetings and I want to win football games and Jackson Dart is, at the end of the day, a football player, which Joe Burrow reminded everybody, this is what I do for a living.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So out comes Dart. And now the question is, him sitting in concussion protocol for 2 weeks, two games, watching Jameis do his thing. Does he come back and understand, oh, you know, I'm not in the SEC anymore. You know, that there are some grown-ass men on this field who are faster. And it takes some time for people to adjust to this sort of thing. I'll tell this story. I'll give on this Giving Tuesday. Marshall Faulk. Oh, pardon me.
New head coach of Southern
coach
University.
Yes. Marshall Faulk.
Right. Coach Faulk.
Yes.
That's, yeah.
Once told me this story. He stood next to the sheriff in his rookie season in Indianapolis. Marshall Faulk was Peyton Manning's first running back in the NFL.
Crazy.
Which is crazy, right?
Yep.
First Ballot Hall of Famers standing next to each other.
Yes.
And with Bill Polian, the general manager, is going to have a bust one day, you know, putting them together and, you know, breaking them up. But listen, that's not what I'm giving about here. Marshall would say Peyton Manning would throw interceptions. He threw, I believe, 28 in his rookie season. That after a while, he had to say something because Peyton would say the same thing coming off the field. I didn't think he could get there. Meaning the defensive back didn't think Marshall said that Peyton didn't think the defensive back would get to the spot where he's thrown and pick him off. So Marshall said to him at one point, hey, Peyton, this is the NFL. They can all get there. And I feel like Jackson Dart needs to get this message. Because if you're sitting here wondering, how would he come back? Would he protect himself a little bit better after spending a couple weeks in concussion protocol? The answer is no. And Christian Ellis is the one who delivered the message. Ooh. On the sideline.
Did he ever.
Blew him up. Blew him up like the Roadrunner on Wile E. Coyote. Super genius. Blew him up, and it was a 100% legal hit. It was a massive shoulder-to-shoulder pad hit. There was nothing contacted at the head, and Dart should have stepped out one step sooner, but didn't. And the question is now, did he learn his lesson? And the answer is, again, I don't know. Roll tape.
This is football. Like, I'm going to get hit if I'm in the pocket or outside the pocket. Like, it's – I feel like I've played this way my whole entire life. This shouldn't be, like, any shocker to anybody if you've followed along with my career. We're not playing soccer out here. Like, you're going to get hit. Things happen. It's part of the game. You know, I'm going to play aggressive. I feel like if I just – turn into a complete pocket passer. That's just not how I want to play the game. I feel like there's an advantage to me using my legs.
Okay. I don't know what else to say other than the fact it's a Giving Tuesday. V.org/donate. So let me give. Because I don't know if there's anybody there that's delivering the message for it to land. I've never met him. I love the way he plays football, and I think it's perfect. He's perfect for this team, this market, this situation. I'm a native New Yorker. Jackson Dart is exactly the type of guy you would want to have as a quarterback of a New York football team. He's got a little bit of the glitz and the glamour, showing up looking like he's about to knock off Nakatomi Plaza last night. But I guess Hans Gruber's not around to deliver the message, so let me do this. Okay. The NFL is counting to three. There will not be a four. That's a Die Hard reference. Again, what happened when Hans counted to four? It didn't work out.
Well,
And I'm just saying, Mr. Takagi, in the NFL, there's a difference between playing with abandon and reckless abandon. And Jackson Dart, you better find it. Because teams like the Patriots, coached up by Mike Vrabel, are going to light you up. And it's not just the Patriots well-coached in the NFL with defenders who are fast and can all get there. His teammates apparently are saying this to him. This was brought up by the media after that soliloquy about, aren't your teammates are saying to us, talking to us about your welfare and needing to take care of yourself.
Your teammates admire your competitiveness, your fire, but they also have been telling you to protect yourself better. What do you say to that?
I thought I did a good job tonight.
No, what do you say to them when they tell you you need to protect yourself better?
Just tell them thanks for looking after me.
Listen, this may be just after a hard loss, and he just lost on Monday Night Football, and he's taking it really hard. Sure. And that's another great example of why I think he works out in New York City, because we all want in New York City, I'll speak for us, we all want guys who it matters, right? Where it looks like he matters. So that's all good. But if you think you did a great job last night because you did slide here and you did slide there, all it takes is one instance. That's it. I don't know what else to say. And somebody's got to say it to him. I don't know if it's the interim head coach or not. I don't know if an interim is going to really matter to him. I don't know. We always view the interim as like a substitute teacher. I'm sure the substitute teacher always views him or herself as the actual authority in the room anyway. I don't know. But it was a whole bunch for the Giants last night and their fans. A whole bunch of what the F was that? Abdul Carter getting benched for being late again. He has 1.5 sacks on the season. He was the best player in the Big Ten last year. I don't know what the hell's happened. Okay? He had his first full sack of the season last night. And then he had this to say afterwards about being benched.
Your second time in 3 weeks didn't start. What happened?
What happens?
What happened?
I ain't gonna get into detail like I said. Shit happens.
Why, Abdul? Like, for
asking me the same question, I just answered.
Was it justified with the benching?
Yeah, I mean, I let my team down today. First two drives, I was out. They scored 17 points. I take responsibility for that. I got to be out there. I got to do better.
Do you feel the message got through?
Yeah.
Okay. And then in terms of, all right, here's Mike Kafka on the benching. He, by the way, he told Laura Rutledge, a coach's decision. What you just said, okay, was what Joe Buck said. Okay. All right. Here's Kafka after the game.
There was a report that he was as part of or all of a team event. Is that true?
No, it was just strictly my decision.
How concerning is it now that it's the second time in 3 weeks he's had to be benched in this way?
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate, but you know that's the way we kind of work with it this week.
I mean, Mike, I imagine that when you benched him the first time, you hope that the message would get through. So the fact that this now, 2 weeks later, it's the same exact thing again. Something similar again.
I would just say we have great communication, and you know, he's one of my favorite players on the team, and that was one thing that you know we talked about, and it was my decision to not play him this early. That was, again, this is one of the things that I decided to do.
Yeah, he's just not going to tell you any details. And then so the Giants have a third overall pick with 1.5 sacks through 13 weeks. They've got a dynamic quarterback receiver running back combination that we saw for about 1.5 before Malik Nabers went out for the season. And then we saw the running back quarterback combination be the like football version of Tango and Cash for like 3 more weeks after that before the running back went out. And then the quarterback can't stay healthy and hasn't learned a single lick about what it is to protect yourself in the NFL despite 2 concussions already. 2 stints, one of which the last one that cost the coach's job. Not saying he cost, well, I should this. The coach cost himself his job. And the quarterback's ascension should have saved it. But the last concussion was the last straw in terms of the way the ownership viewed coaching. And then in the middle of all this, I've never seen a place kicker become the Lucy of a kicking situation where Young Wei Gu didn't reach down and snatch the ball away from himself, but he stopped kicking. And the ball did move slightly, but it was stationary enough to kick it, and he stopped. Like, what's going to happen once you... You can't even call that... It wasn't a missed field goal because he didn't swing his leg. Right, it was a sack of the holder. We saw the holder get sacked because the kicker didn't kick a ball that was ready to be kicked. I've never seen anything like it. So I guess the headline coming into this segment was, what the F was that? But coming out, I guess we'll quote the third overall pick, S happens. And the Giants, just real quick, so we'll get to Van Pelt, because he saw all this. The New York Giants have now 7 games in a row they've lost. They're going to finish with 6 or fewer wins for the 8th time since 2016. 8th. Most such seasons by any time in that span. Oh, and the Giants have now allowed a passing touchdown in each of their first 13 team games. Last time that happened, Richard Nixon was president in 1972. I was 3 when S was really happening. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll talk about the Patriots in a moment. Let's take a break on this Giving Tuesday. Scott Van Pelt will join us next. He will give us his time. You give your cash, if you can, to v.org/donate.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. As a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we know that during the holiday season, every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 on the Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. Give joy, get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Rich Eisen here, and we're brought to you by Sonos. The holidays sound better with Sonos speakers. Whether it's a movie night that feels larger than life or the roar of the crowd as your team takes the field, Sonos helps create the moments you'll remember. Beautiful design, incredible sound, and effortless control mean you can focus on what matters most, enjoying the season. I love Sonos, and so will you. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with incredible sound. Explore Sonos speakers, soundbars, and more at Sonos.com. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's the first ever Giving Tuesday for us here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN2 and the Disney Plus app and the ESPN app. We're streaming on the internet. We're linear cabling right now. And Scott Van Pelt, I couldn't think of a better first guest to have in our first ever Giving Tuesday to kick off V Week as part of our new world with the Rich Eisen Show and Disney. And I'm just going to go here first, Scott, because we all know v.org/donate is the spot to donate to. And part of the V world is our buddy Stewart and the Booyah event that's going down in New York next week. And his documentary is coming out next week. Next Wednesday, it's 30 for 30. What's the first time you met Stu, Scott? Do you remember when the first time you came face to face with Stewart-ish at all?
Vaguely, because I was at the Golf Channel, which is where I began, and I was Tiger Woods had descended into this place that was just its own almost tier, which is amazing, really, that he took golf and a golfer became that athlete that was on par with a Jordan or a Jeter or a Kobe or whomever. And I think our orbits crossed at some event that involved Tiger. And we just instantly had this thing because I was an ACC guy where Maryland was at the time. It was before the whole college landscape shifted. So we instantly had this Maryland-Carolina thing. And I had this relationship with Tiger and Stewart did. And so it was really Tiger that I think kind of brought us into each other's orbit. And that was before I came to ESPN. And a lot of folks were really good to me when I came to ESPN. Just in welcoming me. But I think Stewart, as much as anyone, had so much to do with sort of acknowledging me as a worthy peer, someone who had enough juice, as you did and do, to sit side by side with him and go kind of line for line, barb for barb. And you know what that kind of energy was like and what it required of you. And so we met. before I was a colleague working together. And then my on-ramp with him, I think, was so much Maryland, Carolina, and we had so much fun with that. And then, you know, as time moves on and you have a chance to really become peers that are working with one another, then it becomes an entirely different thing. And there aren't many of us, Rich, that are lucky enough to know what that was truly like, to try to, you know, hang on to the bull or the rocket ship and ride. But what a blast it was to do that on those big nights when, you know, a game ends and here it is and it's you and him and off we go.
Yeah. And you know, part of the V Foundation, we're talking about the Stuart Scott Fund at the V Foundation that's already awarded over $22.1 million in grants. And I can't believe I'm saying these words since his passing in 2015. Right. He's been gone 10 years, Scott. 10 years. And it feels just like yesterday we were watching him on television. I can't believe it. You know,
I agree. And I was really, it was a blessing. I mean, I don't use that word lightly. It was a blessing to be asked a couple of years ago to have Taylor and Sydney on and share with them that there was this, that a dedicated space within the V Foundation in Stuart's name was happening to serve, you know, underserved communities in terms of research and funding. And I sat there and I'm a crier. I get moved to tears easily. Right. And, you know, I have Taylor and Sydney and you again, we knew them as children. And now they're these women of such substance and they're beautiful and they're just like their mom and dad. Cause it's not just dad that are wonderful parents. They've got so much to them. And I look in these faces of women and I'm like weeping because we're talking about their dad who's not here. And it's just so messed up, you know, that he's not here. And yet, because he's who he was, he always will be. So he always will be Stuart Scott. Like that will always exist in the universe, which I think is magical in a lot of ways, right? You a legend truly doesn't die. They live on. And Stuart, like Jimmy V's words, you know, Stuart's words, the last time he spoke publicly, I would argue, were his most impactful.
No question about it. But and having sat in the rafters of Radio City Music Hall with him prior to ESPY Awards, after Jim Valvano's passing, and we would show video of Jim's speech that you're referring to here, and I hope today's show and what you're doing, you know, later on today or if next time you're on the air, if it isn't today, that's the beauty of your show that you host. Every night when you do it, it kind of is like Jim Valvano's speech. And that's what I hope to get out of today's show. Laugh and cry, touch grass, you know, live it like that's living. And so I'm a crier, too, certainly when it comes to Stuart. And I just frequently, you know, think of him. And I can't believe that we're talking about him in the same breath as Jim Valvano because of his speech. And because we used to talk about it. And obviously, you know, neither of us knew what was going to happen to Stu. And so I do think of him often. For instance, the Bears right now, like 9-3. He'd be going out of his gourd about the Bears being 9-3 right now. And the one
for sure. For sure. You know? And I mean, he was a man of many interests. And I always joke with him that I appreciated how he had more wit than I did. As it related to things that interested him, I was just way more knucklehead sports fan. But he had his lanes that obviously Carolina was his you know most prominently known passion. But you know he spent a bunch of time in Chicago, so he would be he'd be bandwagoning. I'd say that to you, Stuart, over in the great beyond. You'd be bandwagoning because you'd have abandoned them over the past you know however long it's been. But hell, I mean, what a story they are. But and we can certainly get to that. Sure. But I'm with you on just the ability when I did radio and the TV show that I'm fortunate to do, which takes some of the elements from that, right? Which allows you the wit to discuss whatever the hell you feel like to bring Taylor and Sydney on and do what we did is a great reminder that what we are so fortunate to do, Rich, is connect to an audience and to people. and that people largely, almost, they not largely, almost exclusively, that we care about each other, right? You can fool yourself if you live with your face in your phone and social media and think that that's it. That ain't it. That ain't it. The world cares for one another largely. And, you know, moments like this, opportunities like this to give and to think about the people that you love, some of whom we've lost, and others who will be in the fight at some point. What is it you can do to try to be helpful? And what we do is try to bang the drum for Stewart in his name and smile as we remember the times we had and weep for the things that we don't get to do anymore.
Mm, and certainly on this Giving Tuesday, v.org/Stewart, if you'd like to give to the Stewart Scott Fund at the V Foundation. And again, the principal and the principal foundation are matching all donations up to $1 million. So v.org/Stewart in that regard, and v.org/donate overall. Scott Van Pelt here on the Rich Eisen Show on a Giving Tuesday. And for those listening on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, Scott's 100-pound Rhodesian Ridgeback named Red is curled up on a beautiful leather chair. Look at the snow in the background. I'm feeling like a warm fire right now, Scott. I'm not going to lie. It looks very cozy.
Almost, it's festive. It is festive. It is that, I'm going to do a Christmas album at some point. I'm kidding. But I threaten the world with that every year because I listen to that, you know, the holiday songs. Well, today's different.
Hasn't
today's
Kelsey different. Done that? Hasn't Jason done that? Hasn't he done, I guess? Because he was dressed like he was ready to, he was ready for Elf 2 last night. You know, that's what it looked like. You know,
they did this. It was this Irish road bowling. It looked like, I said, was Guy Ritchie there? I was looking for brick Turkish. I thought the Pikeys were going to go bare knuckle boxing. You know, yes. you've crossed paths with him. His energy is really infectious, and he's pulled a lot of directions because he's got a lot of things in the hopper. But man, the couple of years that we've been lucky to spend with him, he's got this incredibly infectious energy, and makes us better, and certainly we have fun in his with him, football and otherwise.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and make the turn here. All right, so he was dressed like he was getting ready for Vinnie Jones, and we got Marcus Jones throwing the haymakers.
There you go.
Right?
Did I do that? Thank you.
I appreciate it. I'm just trying to, you know, bring my A game here. It's called giving on Giving Tuesday. But are the Patriots who's the best team you've eyeballed this year, Scott? The best team you've seen with your own two Van Pelt orbs are?
I like the Rams the best, and I'm picking the worst time to say that because they just lost to the Panthers. And I think, and you've made your living covering the NFL, not exclusively, but primarily for decades now. I can't recall a year, Rich, where we were into December, where I think you could ask this question and get so many answers that would be different, and so few answers if you ask the question differently, which is, who's the team you trust? Mm. Because I might like the Rams the best, but I don't know that I trust them after they just lost to Carolina. And I just watched, in order, over the Thanksgiving holiday, in order, I watched Detroit, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Philadelphia, four teams I'm pretty sure good, all lose. And all but one of them, Kansas City, lost on their home field. And so I don't know who the best team is. I'm probably holding out, anointing the Patriots, who were great last night. But their frame of reference with their schedule, they haven't played a great schedule. And then you could counter, but they won at Buffalo and they won at Tampa. So, and I love Mike Vrabel, and Drake May is awesome. So they might ultimately prove to be the best team. I just think that to anoint them at this stage, it just feels premature, simply because May's only in his second year and we haven't seen him take a snap in the playoffs yet. So I'm stubbornly hanging on to these teams that I have seen be good in the past, even in the mounting evidence that maybe they're ordinary this year. Maybe they're just kind of pedestrian teams.
I don't know, but then you hear echoes, man. Like, for instance, a second-year player ascending one game after another in New England at the quarterback spot for a head coach, getting his second time being a head coach and might be better at it this time around. taking on a Rams team in the Super Bowl that they have no chance in, right? I mean, like, it's kind of, you know, we deal in narratives, you and I, more than X's and O's and all 22s and things like that. And then there's Super Bowl 60 in the same spot where there was Super Bowl 50 when there was a Broncos team that was led by a defense, even though they had a future first ballot Hall of Famer at the quarterback spot. I don't know. There's so many echoes of past that could be prologue for all of us here. Scott.
I love that imagery, and the past that often comes back in some form or fashion. I would say that as it relates to New England, I made the comment on Countdown last night. All you folks that got so sick of the Patriots being great, you probably didn't enjoy them not being great in that little window where they weren't enough. Because whether they're great or not, they're certainly not garbage. They're clearly really good.
Yeah,
I am a monster believer in Vrabel. I've known him for a long time. I know how he authentically connects to his locker room. It's a real thing. And the buy-in is clear. I also am a big believer in Peyton. And Sean Payton said it out loud, Rich. I don't know if you played the sound or heard the sound. He used those words. He said, this is a Super Bowl team. And the one caution I have as it relates to Denver is it's wonderful to win 9 in a row. But when you have to come back in every single game at some point, and you keep having to win one score games at the gun, that's a really tough way to do business, and you don't last for too long in the playoffs if those are the margins you're living in. You know what I'm saying? You'd like to see them win more comfortably, they being Denver. I think you'd like to see them have more games where it's not two or three quarters of being absent and then one miraculous quarter. You'd like to see a little bit more consistent sort of a slow burn. But man, they're 11-2 and 10-2. You know, they being the Patriots and the Broncos. The Bears are the one seed in the NFC. It's the Lombardi line that Boomer always used. What the hell is going on here? I mean, that's where we are.
And then just to wrap it all up, we're talking about the top, right? The high rent district here going into week 14. You and I both know that usually there is a team that comes out of the mist, if you will, over the last 5-6 weeks. And before I let you go, looking at the standings in both conferences here, one by one, Chargers, Colts, Bills, and then here on the Rich Eisen Show, we don't do in the hunt, we just say sniffing it. It is the playoffs, in case you're wondering what's being sniffed. Texans, Steelers, Chiefs. So those are your wild cards, and those are your sniffing it. So I'll throw the Jaguars in the mix as well as a 3 seed. In the NFC, you take a look at Seahawks, Packers, Niners, Lions, Cowboys, Panthers. Put your marker on one team, wild card, sniffing it, in either conference that you think could come out of the mist and make a run and win it. Scott Van Pelt, what do you
think? If I'm allowed to take a wild card team in the NFC, I'll say Seattle, just because I think that the Darnold in a big spot, is that scary? Okay, I get it.
What about the Cowboys? They played pretty darn well last 3 weeks, man. They don't look
I told Troy Aikman I thought it was reasonable to put them in the playoff conversation, and Troy said, I don't know if it's reasonable. And I keep texting him. I'm like, it's getting more reasonable all the time. He goes, no, that's a confident team. It feels like a loser goes home spot for the Lions and the Cowboys on Thursday. Mm. This weekend's massive just in terms of the head-to-heads. I like them. I like Dak, and that defense is a hell of a lot better. Overshawn is a game changer along with getting a trade. That's a different defense than they were when they were giving up 500 yards to everybody. And the AFC, the team that I don't think anyone wants to play, which is such a tired cliche, but I really believe it's true. Who wants to play against Houston's defense right now? I say no one. No one wants to deal with that group. So, I mean, the Chiefs were on that logo, and I can't quit them. But they just, in the same way I said Denver can't keep winning one score games, Kansas City was 10-0 in that lane last year. This year they've lost all of them but one, which was the game they came back against the Colts. They're 1-6 in one score games. So I can't quit them, but I wouldn't pick them. I'd pick Houston to come out of the mist because they've been in the playoffs the last 2 years, and I think Seattle is potentially as good as anybody in the NFC, especially when they play to their ceiling.
Scott, you the man. Thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Greatly appreciate you being part of our first ever Giving Tuesday here in the warm Disney embrace. And since it is Giving Tuesday, give Red a scratch for all of us. Will you please, sir?
And give my love to your family. Please tell them I say hello. And thanks, always a pleasure to be on, Rich.
Right back at you. The great Scott Van Pelt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everybody check him out on all the millions of things that he does for ESPN and Disney. And again, v.org/donate to give. And also specifically for Stu, if you wish, the Stuart Scott Fund at the V Foundation, v.org/Stuart. And please know that the money you give up to $1 million collectively gets matched. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Back to talk Patriots before Jim Kelly joins us. We try to be fair and balanced. Coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. You're ready to move your business forward, but first you need to find the right team. Start your search with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. It can help you reach qualified candidates fast, ensuring your listing is the first one they see. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs are 90% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. See the results for yourself. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Back here on ESPN Radio on this Giving Tuesday, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Keep your career moving forward. Visit careers.progressive.com. So, listen, when a New York football team has its season fall completely apart and their dynamic young quarterback who comes back from concussion protocol gets blown up, you know, on a hit that's completely legal and then comes out afterwards and basically says, yeah, you know, like, we're not playing soccer. This is the way I played my entire life. And then their third overall pick, chosen before Jackson Dart, in Abdul Carter, is suspended for a quarter, you know, benched for a quarter because he's late again, second time that's happened. And then their replacement place kicker, you know, stubs his toe and purposefully doesn't swing the leg because the ball's not perfectly enough for him. I mean, we're going to lead with that. Even if there's another team that's just won its 11th game to be the first 11-win team of the season, even when that team is an unexpected first to 11 and is a team that appears to be on the path to being in your face win after win after win after win because they are better coached than you and they have a better quarterback than you and they have a better team mentality than you and they are better situationally than you and their P's and Q's are completely with cross T's and dotted I's in the Patriots. And sure enough, you know, we are at the point where this team is 100% making the playoffs. The only question is, how many home games could they have? And I know that's potentially sacrilegious because there's the Bills just two behind them. But while the Patriots are on a bye week, the Bills have Joe Burrow in their house to try and keep pace. And if they lose that game to Joe Burrow in Western New York, and I don't need to go too deep here because I'm out of respect of Jim Kelly showing up in about 9 minutes time. I'll say it here. It's happened. Then the Patriots would have the opportunity, as Cooper, the diehard Patriot fan of my household, turned to me with a couple minutes to go and says, Dad, because he's good at math, if the Bills lose while we're on a bye and we beat the Bills, we clinch the division, don't we? And I'm like,
yeah,
you do. You do. With a home game. And this team destroying everyone in front of them, including the Bills in win two of their current 10-game win streak. And so that's the question, is how far can they go? And when I saw the Ravens winning five in a row, and certainly before the season, Ravens taking on the Patriots in week 16 at home, that's entirely a winnable game. And as a matter of fact, the Patriots should win it playing the way that they are, with the quarterback playing the way he is. Drake May looks more healthy and spry than Lamar Jackson. I said those words. You tell me. Use the eye test. It's that simple. Drake May had a passer rating of 126 last night. That's 10 straight games with a passer rating of 80 or more in a win. Last guy and only other guy to do that on planet Earth is named Dan Marino in 1984, and he won the MVP. And that's two better than the aforementioned Lamar Jackson, who did it in 2019, and he won the MVP. Is this kid the MVP of the National Football League? Drake May in season two? May just be. Coached by potential coach of the year. He's got Ben Johnson on his heels, Mike Vrabel. And the Giants, they have that pass rush. Last night, he was just basically like shrugging it off. Because he's got the run game, and he's got the blitz beaters that get open. Pop Douglas, Booty, Kyle Williams. My goodness. I didn't even mention Diggs. I just did. Hunter Henry. They're all killing it. May versus the blitz last night was 9 of 12 for 148 yards and two touchdowns and a passer rating of 155.6. It was better if you didn't blitz him. The kid's barely shaving. It's unbelievable. It's the truth. And then they hit you in the mouth on special teams. This guy, Marcus Jones, is Dion 2.0. He's returning interceptions and he's returning punts. Honestly, the thing that was really weird last night is your place kicker actually missed something.
He's been great. Also a rookie.
He's been Vinatieri 2.0.
Also a rookie.
Stop asking if this team's for real. The only question is who's coming into their house and what's going to happen then in the crucible of a win-or-go-home game? And if you think the coach and quarterback and offensive coordinator is going to be spooked by it, you might have another thing coming. For real. This is real talk. They're on a bye, mostly healthy, coming back, taking on a Bills team that should be an underdog in New England. And the same thing maybe with them going to Baltimore the week later. This is real stuff.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.